Joining us now, photographer, adventurer, I would call him, based on the photos he takes, is Brian Scarry. He's put together a book. It's called Sharks. National Geographic is a publisher for this, and a lot of great pictures in here and a lot of stories about sharks, and he's here to talk a little bit about this. Brian, tell me, what is your fascination with sharks? How did that begin for you?
Well, I started diving, almost about 40 years ago, scuba diving and making pictures as a photographer. And I just, as a young guy, I just had an interest in being in the water with a shark. I think, as a 20-year-old kid, that would have given me street cred probably among my diving friends. So that was the original reason. But when I saw that first shark, I was diving in the waters of New England near my home, and I saw this blue shark. It sort of had a profound effect on me as just a photo subject. They're beautifully sculpted by nature, sharks are, and they sort of blend grace and power. So it became this, ultimate quest to make perfect pictures of sharks. But over the years, I came to see them as a complex animal and as a fragile animal, an animal that's really in peril in the world's oceans. So my journalistic sort of intent kind of changed over time as to what kind of pictures I wanted to make about them.
Brian, why are they in peril?
Well, for many years now, each year, more than 100 million sharks are being killed around our planet, and it's largely for their fins, for the shark fin soup trade. And, sharks are important animals in the ocean. As predators, they keep the ocean healthy, just like wolves or grizzly bears do on land. And, we can't kill that many of them and expect the ocean to be healthy.
Do we know why some have come close to shore, it seems, in recent years, like off North Carolina or Virginia?
I think there's probably a variety of reasons why that kind of thing is happening. First of all, I think it has a lot to do with the prey that they're feeding on. Most sharks feed on fish, so as bait either becomes less plentiful or maybe moves into shallow water because of climate, that the change in the ocean temperatures may bring schools of fish into the shallows, and the sharks are just sort of following the food. I think that's probably the predominant reason.
When you are photographing these sharks, do you ever get a sense of a personality? I don't know, sometimes as people we kind of put sort of the traits onto other living creatures, do they seem sort of as cold as sometimes as they're depicted?
No, that's actually a really great question, and it's one of the things I talk about in my book, Shark, and that is that, no, they very much do have personalities, and, this is something that scientists would have never given credibility to even a few years ago, but many researchers are now acknowledging that animals like sharks do have personalities, and, I've found that individual species sort of have their own temperament, so a tiger shark might be different than a mako shark, but they also have individual personalities, and I think this is like, 10 owners of golden retrievers being able to talk about their dog. They know that each of those dogs has certain characteristics that are inherent with the breed, but they also have individual personalities. Some are a little more shy, some are a little more bold or aggressive, and I think it's the same with sharks.
We're talking today with Brian Scarry. He has a book called Shark, and a lot of great photographs and about his encounters with sharks. When you look at some of them, do they look battle-worn? Because they're out there swimming, protecting themselves, so I suppose everyone you photographed is quite unique.
Yeah, that is very true. The female sharks, particularly when mating, they end up getting bitten by the males in many cases, so you'll see these females that have scars all over their bodies, and even males do too at times. And with certain species, like the great white shark, it's been revealed just in the last 2 or 3 years that scientists think that they live well into their 70s now. It used to be thought that they lived about maybe 30, 35 years old. So, yeah, you've got a 70-year-old great white shark out there that's been swimming all over the ocean, traveling tens of thousands of miles every year. And, they are battle-worn. They do have this great character, and you can imagine the wisdom, the stories that they could tell if we could understand them.
Any idea the largest shark you've come upon?
Well, the largest shark I've ever seen has been a whale shark, which is a plankton feeder, not a predatory shark. And they get to lengths of, over 40 feet, but very docile, sort of like a big, calm cow swimming through the ocean. Beautiful. The biggest predatory shark that I've seen has probably been a great white that was maybe close to 18 feet in length. But even, you know, 18 feet in length is big, but this is an animal that's probably 6 feet thick. So it's a massive animal and really awe-inspiring when you see one.
When you get into summertime, Shark Week, you know, the other channel has that sort of thing. And National Geographic channel also has things related to sharks. What do you have that's out there for the folks to see?
Well, so my book, and I have a new exhibit that just opened at the National Geographic Museum in Washington, D.C., that sort of chronicles my work over 35 years with sharks. It's many of my photos. It's got a lot of my equipment, my underwater camera housings and chainmail suits that I sometimes use and all this stuff. So if folks are in D.C. and have an interest in sharks, you could check out the museum. But the book, Shark, just came out and you know, really gets into my personal stories of diving and swimming and photographing these animals over decades.
Tell us a little bit about your experiences. Obviously, this is not something that when you wake up that day, you're thinking, what's going to happen? You just, the encounter unfolds in front of you. Tell us about some that may have been a little bit more difficult, I might say.
Well, you know, I've probably made many hundreds, if not thousands, of dives with sharks, and only maybe three or four have been a little dicey. You know, there was a time when I was on an expedition for 5 weeks out in a very remote part of the South Pacific. I was in a place called Millennium Atoll in the Southern Line Islands. It's an uninhabited place and takes days to get there from even Tahiti. But I was diving at sunset, which is a time in coral reef environments where sharks sometimes begin to feed. Their behavior gets a little amped up a bit. And I ended up being surrounded by maybe 60 or more of these gray reef sharks, and it just got a little bit too crazy. I mean, you know, when you've got a few animals around you, you can sort of manage that pretty well. But when there's 60, it just got really, really crazy. So, you know, I had to sort of bump them away with my camera housing as they were coming in a little hot and make my way back to the boat and get out. It was one of those nights where it just wasn't going to happen photographically. It was time to go back and relax.
We see photos with the shark cage. You know, if you see the housing, what kind of a special equipment do you use to be able to photograph like this?
Well, right. So with cages, I pretty much only use a shark cage when I'm diving with great whites. There are people who don't do that, but I still choose to do that. But with all the other species, I haven't felt a need to be in a cage. You know, my cameras go inside underwater housings that have to be not only waterproof but pressure-proof, which means that I'm somewhat limited. You know, I can't change lenses. I can't change film or compact flash cards. I'm sort of relegated to whatever I go in the water with. But you know, with digital cameras these days, I can shoot a lot more than I used to be able to do with film, and generally speaking, when I'm working with sharks, I know what lens I want to use, so it's not really that limiting. But it is, you know, limiting in the sense that you've only got maybe an hour in the water, and you don't have the latitude that a terrestrial wildlife photographer might have.
What's the closest you've gotten to a shark? Or,
well, you know, as an underwater photographer, I have to get very close to my subject. The ocean is never that clear. Even in the clearest of places, I can't use a 600-millimeter lens like somebody photographing, you know, a lion or a grizzly bear might do. So I have to get usually within a couple of feet of these sharks in order to make a compelling photograph. And I really think it's a testament to the animals that I can do that, you know, time after time, year after year. And although it's never fully without risk, I do think that it can be done very safely, and that's been proven by me and many other people.
What's the saddest photograph you've taken of a shark, if such a thing? Or, you know, sometimes when you take a picture, you try to have a story or emotion and not just sort of something swimming in the water.
Yeah, well, you know, the saddest picture was one that I made of a dead shark. I was doing a story on the problems of overfishing and wanted to make an image that sort of spoke about this statistic of more than 100 million sharks being killed every year. And I was in Mexico's Sea of Cortez, and I jumped in early in the morning and was swimming along a gill net, and I found a thresher shark that had just recently died in the net. And because it's a pelagic animal, it swims out in the open ocean. It has these big pectoral fins like the wings of an aircraft. And its eye was still open. As I framed it up in my camera's viewfinder, it sort of struck me as a crucifixion. Those big arms on either side stretched out looked like, you know, like this animal had been crucified. And it ended up being the lead picture in that story. But I think it gave some empathy to that statistic and the fact that, you know, these are important animals in the ocean. We need them. You know, every other breath that a human being takes comes from the sea. More than 50% of the oxygen we breathe is generated by the ocean. So predators play an important role, and we can't kill that many and expect the ocean or our own lives to be healthy.
The book is called Shark. Brian Scarry, the photographer, our guest this morning. People can pick up that book. It's now out, and we look forward to seeing more that you do. Is there a place where people can kind of find out about you and things that you do in your...
Yeah, absolutely. I'm certainly on social media, you know, so Instagram, Brian Scarry, or Facebook or Twitter, and on my website as well. But thanks very much, Bruce and Craig. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for sharing the story and the pictures with us this morning.
All right, thanks.
Brian Scarry, the book is called Shark. National Geographic brings shark encounters to life in this brand new book.